The title of this podcast is Prescriptions Are for the Unserious. There's been a lot of questions over a number of years regarding my take on what I call prescriptions. And by prescriptions, I don't just mean sort of medication prescriptions and things like that. By prescriptions, I essentially mean a technique-based and methodology-based view on things. And if we examine society in any domain, in any discipline, even if you were to do a Google search on a particular topic, essentially 100% of what you would find is that it would all be based upon the viewpoint of this is how you do it. If you want to overcome depression or sorrow, or you want to become more joyful, or if you want to develop a certain skill, or if you want to become better at something in business or in sports, whatever it may be, the only angle that is available through the auspices of society is the idea of a prescription and a methodology and a five-step plan and a 10-step way to do this, and essentially a litany of list posts concerning the method and the technique by which to pursue something. Now, what is wrong with that? Well, it isn't really a question of right and wrong. And I think the first and foremost, the thing that needs to be understood is that if one adopts the idea that one should not pursue prescriptions, that would be short-sighted. That would lead to problems in its own right. And the reason that that would is because then that would also become a prescription. So the idea isn't that you shouldn't follow prescriptions. It really is an understanding. It really is a nuanced examination of why this happens to be the case. So if you examine a prescription and someone says to you, well, this is how you do it. Now, if it's something mechanical, like turning a screw or hammering a nail, or things along that line, which are essentially basic actions that require essentially no form of great art, then prescriptions are fine. And how to turn on a computer, very basic mechanical level things. But anything besides that, anything that involves skill or the domain of art or emotion or anything at all that relates to the mind or how to live in the world or whatever it may be, or developing a skill in which you become world class at, prescriptions have essentially no place whatsoever. And the reason is when you are told how to do something, what will inevitably happen is that the mind will begin to focus upon the how. It'll begin to focus upon the thing that is being said, as opposed to the thing that the how happens to be about. There is an old saying that if you point your finger at the sky, the world will look at the finger and miss the sky. And it is very poignant in the setting of prescriptions. Everything in the society is based upon, let me show you what the right way is and what the wrong way is. If you look at, for instance, self-development, which I think largely is a farce, self-improvement, self-development, because it is all based upon prescriptions. You should do 20 minutes of meditation. You should practice mindfulness. You should practice loving kindness. You should do this, that, and the other. And what will happen is that the people will begin to do that. And by doing that, they will hope that because I did this, this should lead me somewhere. And that isn't really how anything works. Because if that was true, and it's best just to look at the evidence, if that was true, then the millions upon millions who meditate and practice mindfulness would become Buddhas. They'd become enlightened. They'd become self-realized, whatever word that you want to use. And I think that anybody can see that that simply isn't the case. So prescriptions are not the road to anywhere except prescriptions. Prescriptions and how-tos lead only to prescriptions and how-tos. If I say to you, well, what you must do is practice mindfulness and meditation, for instance, then what will happen is that you will do the mindfulness and you will do the meditation, and then you will wonder, well, where is the result? Where is the enlightenment? Where is the freedom for from involuntary thought? Where is the peace? How come it hasn't arrived yet? And that question you will keep asking, but it'll never really arrive because you are pursuing it by way of an intermediary. And so if you go back to the person who says that, invariably what you'll get is, well, you haven't practiced it long enough, or you must do it in a different way, or you aren't quite doing it right. And if you do it right, then it will, quote, work. But if we examine, for instance, monks, who live in monasteries, they practice meditation and mindfulness for hours upon hours every single day, far more than even the most committed and devoted meditator in society. And to be honest, they don't get anywhere either. They are essentially following the prescriptions of their religion or their path. If you look at Buddha, when he first went into the forest, as Siddhartha, and he met the ascetics, and the ascetics essentially gave him a load of prescriptions. He was eating one grain of what is it, one grain of rice per day, drinking his own urine, became emaciated. Really, sat in the rain day and night. His flesh began to rot, and which is fine if that's the price that you must pay. He was willing to pay it, but what he realized after 6 or 7 years is that he was no closer to enlightenment than he was when he first came to the forest. And frankly, the ascetics who were telling him to do these things had been doing it far longer than he had, and they had gotten nowhere. And I think the reason was that the ascetics really weren't interested in enlightenment. I think the ascetics were interested in being ascetics. And that's what they got. But he wasn't there to be an ascetic. He was told that if you are an ascetic, then the ascetic is the intermediary to becoming enlightened. And when he learned that that simply isn't the case, he left on his own and he sat under the Bodhi tree and he said, my bones may rot and my skin may wither and I may die, but I will not arise from this place until I reach enlightenment. Now, that's sincerity. That was seriousness. It wasn't that if I meditate, this long, then it will come. Because if that was going to happen, then the ascetics who told him to do that, they would have become enlightened. And they never did. So this whole idea is so embedded within the fabric of society and within the mind of human beings that it is so invisible. It is never even examined. If you were to tell someone, well, you don't approach things by way of a how-to, he would say, well, what do you mean? Well, of course, what else is there? There is only the how. And the same thing happens in business and in professional sports. It's all based upon the how. Whenever a professional golfer, for instance, does not do well in a tournament, the place that he always goes after the tournament is to the range in order to work on his technique, even though he's been playing golf for 20, 30, 40 plus years. So something must have gone wrong with his technique that day that he needs to address. There's this constant chase of things, and the chase really has nothing to do with anything. It isn't based upon any reality. It is just that this is the only thing that the world knows. In many ways, I don't blame the professional golfer for doing that because that's all he's been told, and that's all that society has been sort of repeating through the megaphones, as well as in his culture for his entire career. That's all he's ever known. It's all about technique. There is nothing else. So prescriptions and how-tos lead to enormous limitation. They just create more questions. If you're told how to do this, then you will come back and say, well, am I doing it correctly? And then the person will say, no, you're doing it this way when it needs to be done this way. Then you'll go back and correct your actions or thoughts or behaviors or habits, whatever they may be. Then you'll come back and then you'll say, well, is that correct? And the person will say, well, that's you're doing better. Just keep doing it. And so forever and ever and ever, you are always wearing a blindfold. You are always blind, allowing someone else to lead you by the hand. And you work by way of faith. You work by way of a promise that if I do X and Y, then something will one day arrive. And whenever something is done by way of faith or promise, it never really arises. The things that you have in your life are things that you did not arrive at by faith or promise. They were things that you had to have, and therefore you could not risk relegating them to faith and promise because you had to have them. It is only the things that you don't really, that you may want, but you don't have to have, that they are not life and death to you. Those are the things that you will relegate to prescription because subconsciously you know that even if you don't get them, it's sort of all right. The things that you absolutely have, you will one way or another create your own how. And that's how things work. When you know the what, you will create your own how. If you have understanding as to what creates what is the causality that creates a particular effect, you being invested with that understanding will allow you to move forward on solid ground, with open eyes, knowing what produces what and what does not produce what. Therefore, you will not move forward based upon faith, based upon the words of another, based upon a promise, based upon ascetics telling you that you should meditate and practice mindfulness in order to achieve enlightenment as they did to Siddhartha. So you see this all the time across all domains. You know, the people who become great are never the ones who follow prescriptions to get there. Because if you did, then essentially anyone else could follow the same prescription and get to the same place. And so the greatest CEOs and the greatest professional athlete and the greatest performing artist and the greatest, you know, singer and the greatest writer, you could follow their, quote, habits if you like. You can follow you know, what they do on a daily basis and the mechanical and physicality of what they do. But you won't get there. You won't become them because they didn't arrive at that by such mechanical black and white means. They arrived there through circuitous routes that were unplanned and that were largely by surprise. But the one thing that got them there was a life and death desire to somehow get there. And it wasn't by way of a script, and it wasn't by way of five-step plans. That is, I think, clear to everyone that simply practicing golf won't make you Tiger Woods. Because frankly, that these experiments have already been done. If you look at the other players on the PGA Tour, none of them are Tiger Woods, and they are not by any means lazy. They put in the time, they put in the work, they put in the quote hard work. They have their coaches and instructors, and so they're doing all that they can, but no one is even close to Tiger Woods. So there's more evidence that it isn't about the doing and the following and the prescribing and the adherence to various laws and various rules that gets anyone anywhere. It is an undying desire that really gets someone somewhere. And the path is always circuitous. It is never a straight line. It's never clean. It's never black and white. It's always vague. It's always the truth is always spontaneous. It's never ever scripted. So it's the understanding that a how is an intermediary. In many ways, every how is a how not. You could view it that way, and it would actually pan out quite nicely. Whenever someone tells you a how, that if you want to achieve this, then what you must do is this, this, and this, and that thing isn't mechanical, like, you know, give me 20 push-ups and 40 sit-ups. I mean, those are mechanical things, once again. But anything that's related to art or true skill or arriving at a high level in your profession, or things like, quote, self-development or arriving at a place of peace within yourself, those things are never, ever, they don't have, prescriptions don't have the power to create that. If they did, then, as I said, you would see Buddhas all over the place, and you would see that those who practice mindfulness would have conquered the mind and involuntary thought. And yet what that leads essentially to is just an endless horizon of practice. It seems that human beings are far more enamored by the idea of practice than they are in with the idea of arrival. Very few people actually want to get there. They actually want to play the part more than they want to get there. They're far more interested in the idea of working hard and putting in the effort, and almost bragging to themselves, if not others, that, you know, look at what I'm doing, look at how much effort I'm putting into it, I'm a good person because I'm practicing X, Y, and Z. But the truth never really is based upon morality. The truth is never based upon what the right thing to do is, wrong thing to do is. The truth is always based upon what actually works, what is effective. So it doesn't really matter what you do. It really matters where you really want to go, or where you really don't no longer want to be. So the sincerity and the seriousness is what gets anyone anywhere, not the mechanics, not the methodology, not the technique. And that's why I say prescriptions truly are for the unserious. I think secretly and deep down, those who ask how precisely are those who don't want to get there. I think how is a cop-out of a question, because I think the person who asks how, and for instance, who will ask me commonly is, well, how do you get rid of involuntary thought? You know, as if in a Twitter message, I can give you 5 steps to get rid of involuntary thought. I mean, these are otherworldly things arriving at the top of Everest. I mean, these are truly elixirs of mankind. The fact that they can be reduced to a 5-step plan is really, really silly. And I think that the person asking that actually knows that. He's sort of just doing it to pass time. And deep in his heart of hearts, he knows he doesn't want that. He would never ask that kind of question if he was serious. He would truly investigate himself, and he would ask questions that are qualitatively, fundamentally different than just how do you do that. I mean, it's almost flippant to ask a how. How do you become enlightened? How do you stop involuntary thought? How do you conquer the mind? How do you become world class? It's almost a flippant question. It's so unserious that even the person asking it knows it's unserious. What possible answer could any human being give to that? And if a person truly gave you an answer in a 5-step plan, then he would be just as unserious as the person asking the question. So those who ask how are simply not serious. They don't really, really want to know. They just sort of want to go through the motions and play the game of pretending to want to know. So the things that you do the greatest, the things that you are artful at, the things that you are world class at, whatever they may be, are precisely the things that you know not how you do. The how is only completely evident to you for the things that you don't do very well, because those things are not art. Art is in many ways a mystery. It comes out of the blue. It happens spontaneously. It catches one by surprise. You know, it is not something that is mechanical. It is not something that is scripted or rehearsed. Even giving a speech, even as I do this solo podcast, there's nothing scripted about it. if you give a talk on stage, to script it and to plan it and to tell a joke every 4.2 minutes and to try to engage the audience and to try to gain applause and to try to be entertaining, you know, those are all quite unserious and silly things, because those are all done for self-gratification. They are done as ulterior motives in order to gain something from the audience. If you truly wish to give a good talk, and then you won't really worry if it's good or not. You'll speak from the heart, and it'll be genuine, it'll be authentic. And there is something within the hearts of human beings that can recognize that which is truly authentic, that which is truly genuine, that which is truly not done in order for gain or for applause or whatever it may be. I think that those receptors absolutely exist within us, whether we realize them or not, and we can feel it, we can sense it, we can taste it upon hearing it, whether someone is truly being genuine or if they're trying to feed us a line or if they're trying to get something from us or whatever it may be. So without genuineness and without sincerity and without seriousness, there really isn't any arrival of any sort. There really is only a going through the motions and it's a plastic approach to things. So these are the reasons why prescriptions really are a path to nowhere, primarily because those who ask for them really are not interested in getting there. And society always creates a supply for where there is a demand. And naturally, there's always going to be a demand for unserious things. Human beings being human beings, there's always going to be far more unserious people than there are going to be serious people. Therefore, the supply for unseriousness is going to far, far outweigh the supply for seriousness. So, you know, the things that I talk about, the things that I mention, the things that I post, you know, this really, in some ways, it is for everyone, but practically speaking, it really isn't hardly for anyone. It's really for a very small number of people. It is by no means for the masses, because the masses like to have everything dumbed down. They like to have everything stripped of all its essence, so that it can be reduced to a soundbite, into a five-step plan, into a how-to, and a prescription. And certainly society caters to that, and there's plenty of avenues for that. And frankly, that's a match made in heaven. So this really is only for a very small number of people, the people who truly are serious and recognize that the amount of years and the amount of time that we have left on this earth is very, very small. And if one really seeks to get somewhere, then there really is no time to waste. There's no time chasing ghosts. It really is about seriousness and truly arriving somewhere. So this in whole and in total is why I say that prescriptions are fundamentally for the unserious. Thank you.